The Greymore Friars Monastery is located on Atoman Mountain near Garrison, New York. Adjacent to this famous monastery, one sees St. Christopher's Inn. Homeless men from all walks of life come to this famous inn. These men are fed and sheltered by the Greymore Friars, and no distinction is ever made of race, creed, or color. You are invited to listen to another chapter of the dramatized story, The Life of Christ. Brought to you transcribed each week by the Greymore Friars, who offer this series with a prayerful hope that this vivid portrayal of the life of Christ will help to awaken in you a deeper personal love of God and a firm determination to strive to prove that love in your daily life. Now, Chapter 9, The First Forgiveness of Sins.
But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy iniquities for mine own sake. And I will not remember thy sins.
After visiting a number of the towns in Galilee, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and now he walked not alone. Wherever he appeared, people clamored to hear his word and pressed upon him in the streets. On this morning, as Jesus left his house, the four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, were at the lake shore cleaning their nets after a night of fruitless casting.
Simon, I'd like to follow the Master wherever he goes.
I too, James. But we must think of our families, how to provide for them. Yes, and ourselves too, if we leave our occupations to go with him.
Yes, that worries me. There's precious little we've brought home after last night's fishing.
Never have we had such a meager catch.
Look, look, Simon. It's Jesus. Oh, they give him no rest.
I press him so closely, his feet are in the water.
Simon, he's getting into your boat. He's signaling to you to come. Go to him.
Tell Andrew to finish the nets. Tell him where I am. Called me, Master.
Get into the boat. Pull out a little from the shore. Enough, Simon. I'll address them from here.
And Jesus ordered Simon to pull the boat a little way from the shore. And sitting in it, he taught the people. When he had finished, he sat in the stern and said,
"Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch."
"Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing. Never during the day do we catch fish here, for the sunlight sends them toward the bottom. And... but at thy word I will lower the net."
Simon! Simon, where are you going?
To try for a catch. It's the Master's wish.
Did you hear, Andrew? It's plain the Master knows little about fishing. Let's get in the boat and follow them.
The nets have been in long enough. It's time to pull in. Master, The net's caught on something. I'm afraid it's fouled in a sunken boat. It gave a bit. Fish. The net's filled with fish. I'll need help. James! Andrew! Row over quickly! The net's so heavy I can't pull it in!
Look at the size of that catch. Andrew, bring the boat in at right angle with Simon's. I'll help with the nets. No, never mind tying up, Andrew. Signal to the others to come out. Then help me with the nets.
Net breaking. Call for help.
John, hurry, hurry. We need help.
That's the last fish. Never have I...
Simon, look out. You've overloaded your boat. It's sinking.
Here. I'll put some in another boat. Come alongside. Closer. Give me a hand to unload. Quick.
Do not be afraid.
I... Depart from me. For I am a sinful man, O Lord.
Look, Andrew. Your brother falls on his knees to Jesus.
Henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Slowly, they rowed back toward the shore. And in silence, for each man was deep in his own thoughts.
Fishers of men. That catch was no stroke of luck. Only a few hours ago, we were questioning how we would provide our wants if we left our homes and followed him. Have no fear, he said. He has done this for us. Simon knows, too.
How unworthy we are. Fishers of men. Even as he said it when he first saw us mending our nets. He has done this to strengthen our faith. And I proved unworthy. Unworthy. Never again will I do that. And I'm ready to follow wherever he takes me.
They brought their boats to land, and all were amazed, for never had men caught fish at that time of day. And the fish were counted and prepared for market. But they left with Jesus and went into Galilee to tell men of the kingdom of God. And it came to pass, while he was in one of the towns, there was a man full of leprosy.
Unclean. 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 Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
I will. Be thou made clean.
Master, it's happening. My hands, the flesh is becoming firm.
Go. See thou tell no one. But go, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy purification the things that Moses commanded for a witness to.
Master. Master, come back. He did not even let me thank him. Clean. Clean. My body's clean again.
I'm cleansed. Come out, don't be afraid of me. I can live with people again. I can walk with them, drink wine, talk with them. God's mercy is upon me. I'm clean, I'm clean.
Hold out your hands.
See? The raw flesh is healed.
It is amazing.
Not a trace of the white spots that marked the beginning of the leprosy.
Yet 3 days ago you could hardly walk. The bones were exposed on your arm.
Yes, Rabbi.
How do you account for this?
I was standing in the lane. I saw a man coming. It was Jesus.
Jesus was here?
But an hour ago. I asked him to make me well. He did and passed on.
How did he accomplish this cure?
He said, "Be thou made clean." And from that moment I was.
That is all he did?
No more. Then he told me to show myself to you and make the offering commanded by Moses for my purification.
There can be no doubt as to the cure. Therefore, in accordance with the law, you will bring to me 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop.
I have come with everything, Rabbi.
This bird you will kill in the earthen vessel over running water.
Yes. There. It is done, Rabbi.
The wood, the scarlet and hyssop, and the living bird, I dip in the blood of the bird just killed. Now stand forth. 7 times I sprinkle you with blood of your sacrifice and do pronounce you clean. This living bird I release into the open field.
Now, I am clean. When can I see my friends? When can I mingle with people again?
You shall wash your clothes and your body and stay from your dwelling for 7 days. On the 7th day, you shall shave the hair from your head, your beard, and your eyebrows. And you shall wash your flesh and your clothes in water.
And then will I be...
On the 8th day, you shall bring to me 2 he-lambs without blemish, 3 tenths of flour and 1 log of oil.
Yes, yes, Rabbi, I shall do all you say.
Then you with these offerings will be presented before the Lord. And I will offer a sin offering and a burnt offering and make atonement for you. And you shall be made clean before the congregation. Now go and prepare yourself as I have instructed.
Rabbi, I'm Abner, chief scribe for the delegation from Jerusalem. We're here to investigate these cures of Jesus and to gather all evidence possible.
Jesus passed through my village a few days ago. He effected a cure for leprosy.
In your presence?
No, I was not an eyewitness.
Too bad. But tell us what happened.
A leper whom I've known for many years came to me with his offerings. He told me Jesus had cured him.
There's no mistake about the cure?
None whatever. I had seen the man a few days before, and the flesh was raw, falling away from the bone.
And now?
Not only has the progress of the disease been halted, but the flesh has been restored to its former whole condition.
Do you believe this man when he says it was Jesus who made him well?
What else can one believe? It confirms what we've heard about Jesus. I accepted the man's offering, and at the end of 8 days will present him to the congregation as cured.
This places us in rather an awkward position. This carpenter with no study can do remarkable things, and we are called on to give official recognition to him by certifying what the people regard as miracles.
I can see that, but there's little I can do to help it. There's no denying this leper was cured, and as a priest I have no choice but to declare it.
Yes, yes, of course, but this delegation would like to see a cure performed before witnesses.
That should not be hard to do. He travels from town to town. Those who are ill seek him out.
We are informed that Jesus has made Capernaum his headquarters. I'd like you to come there with me for a day or so and be a witness for us.
A witness to what?
I can tell you no more now. Just come with me and you may see something of interest.
Is
There's a palsied man living in this street. Four of his friends are carrying him to Jesus, and will beg him to cure the man.
Why hasn't he been taken to Jesus before?
He was forgotten in the excitement when Jesus cured so many a few Sabbaths ago. A number of our delegation are with Jesus now.
Where is he?
In a house of a friend. I want you to look at this man before he's taken there and verify that he's helpless. Then we'll have the doctors look him over after the cure.
But Jesus may suspect you're watching him and refuse.
Splendid. The people will think he has lost his power.
And if he does cure the man?
Then at least it will take place before witnesses delegated by the Sanhedrin. This is the house. Come in. Now, there he is. Take a good look at him.
Palsy. I've seen it many times.
Good. We've testimony from the doctors that the case is incurable, and...
It's easy to see the poor man's in advanced stages.
All this may seem unnecessary and legalistic to you, Rabbi, but our report of the Sanhedrin must be without flaw.
Yes, I understand.
Come then, let's hurry to Jesus' house. We want to be sure we'll get a place inside.
Abner and the priest hastened to the place where Jesus was teaching. Already the room was crowded and a group of people were gathering in front of the house. They elbowed their way in and managed to squeeze into a seat among the other scribes and Pharisees who had come to listen to Jesus. In the meanwhile, four friends of the palsied man had come, picked him up on his pallet, and carried him to the house. When they arrived, there was a great crowd.
I don't know what's happened. The men should have been here by now.
There's a crowd outside. Perhaps they were unable to get through.
Yes, that's it. Well, we'll just have to...
Look! Look above!
Why, they couldn't get through. They're lowering the palsied man through the hole they've made.
Master, step back. It's a man sick of the palsy. It's evident his friends couldn't get him through the crowd outside and have taken this means of sending him to you.
Take courage, my son. Thy sins are forgiven thee.
Ah, he overreaches himself. This is more than I expected. This is evidence, the kind we've been waiting for.
This man blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but only God? Why does this man speak thus?
Why are you arguing in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk?
The very words he spoke to the beggar at the pool in Jerusalem.
But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.
You heard, Rabbi? Again he said it.
Wait.
He turned to the paralytic.
I say to thee, arise, take up thy pallet, and go to thy house.
He is getting up. He stands. He walks. He walks. The man can cure. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
It has happened many times since Jesus came to Galilee.
When the crowds saw the paralytic walk forth, they were struck with fear and glorified God who had given such power to men. And they cried out, never did we see the like. And those from Jerusalem heard the people glorifying God, and fear was in their bowels, and they consulted among themselves.
I'd like to take him to Jerusalem to be examined.
The people will tear you to pieces if you attempt it.
Yes, I suppose you're right. We had best wait until he comes for the Passover. Meanwhile, I'll report to Caiaphas.
What will you say?
All that I've seen and heard. That he has supernatural powers of some sort. That he cures people.
But he has blasphemed. He has likened himself unto God, and that he says he can forgive sins.
You may be sure I'll report this to Caiaphas.
Abner, make no mistake. Let this man go on, and he will destroy us all, Pharisees and Sadducees alike.
Believing that, would it not be best for Sadducees and Pharisees to forget their differences?
Does that mean we must bow to the Sadducees and deny that we are the true defenders of the law and the tradition?
Not at all. Only that we should work together against a common danger.
That is different. You may be sure we will keep close watch over Jesus for any further infraction of the law.
Good. Now I must be off.
Abner, I'm glad you came. Some of your reports are very disturbing.
Caiaphas, there can be no doubt of this man's ability to cure.
You have seen these things with your own eyes?
No, not many of them. But I've talked to reliable witnesses. Their accounts do not vary. Men they have known to be ill many years have been made well.
You wrote also of miracles.
All Galilee is rife with talk. It's hard to know what to believe. At Cana, he's supposed to have turned water into wine for a wedding feast. And then there's wild rumors of a great catch of fish in the Sea of Galilee. And that, of course, could have been mere luck.
Yes, yes. Now let us confine ourselves to what you yourself can bear witness to.
The other night, with my own eyes, I saw him cure a paralytic. It was an incurable case. I had visited the man myself before he was brought to Jesus. And I had the testimony of the doctors.
But there still seems to be nothing with which we can charge him.
Wait until I tell you about this paralytic. When Jesus first looked upon him, he did not speak as in the case of the others, arise and walk, or thou art whole again.
What did he say?
He said to the man, take courage, son, thy sins are forgiven thee.
What? Are you sure?
Yes. And when some of the Pharisees murmured at this, he asked them, which is easier to say, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? And then he very definitely stated, the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. If it is not blasphemy, it's very close to it.
It's very close, Abner. Still, he has not said directly, that is. That he is the Son of God.
That I grant.
Yet, in a sense, he has likened himself unto God. Still, it is not definite enough. We must wait, Abner.
Very well, Caiaphas.
These Pharisees are quick to detect violations of their narrow interpretation of the law, and would stone a man without legal justification.
I will return then to Galilee.
Yes, do so at once. Keep close watch. Should Jesus ever say directly that he is the Son of God, we shall at once charge him with blasphemy.
Thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy iniquities for mine own sake. And I will not remember thy sins.